Hello, you're listening to the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service. Today, we're going back to the 2012 London Olympics to hear the story of sprinter Zamzam Farah. She grew up in war-torn Somalia. Just reaching the Olympic Games was a huge personal achievement. But taking part in the greatest show on earth would come at a cost. Zamzam spoke to Ian Williams in 2021.
It's the evening of Friday, the 27th of July 2012, and excitement is building ahead of the start of the London Olympics.
Tonight, up to 1 billion people around the world are expected to be watching the opening ceremony, promised to be a spectacular show.
The crowd was amazing.
In the athletes' parade, Zamzam Farah proudly carries the flag of her nation. She is one of only two athletes sent by Somalia.
I was nervous, but when I get in there, things change. It was the best experience that I ever had.
The 21-year-old Muslim is set to race in the 400 metres. She will do so wearing a headscarf, leggings and long sleeves.
I love to cover my body because if my body belongs to me, I don't want to share with others. But at the same time, it represents you as who you are.
But first, she has the opening ceremony to drink in. In particular, one unexpected performer.
There was a comedian I used to watch in Somalia.
Mr. Bean.
Yep. He was playing piano and I was like, no, that's not true.
Born in March 1991 in the Somali capital, Mogadishu, Zamzam was drawn to sports at an early age. Initially, she played football. Not everyone approved.
I was a tomboy. People were trying to push me back, like, girls can't do things, you need to have a family and be a mum. And that's not what I wanted.
For Zamzam, the sight of government and militia troops was a regular occurrence. But from 2009, a frightening new chapter began in the Somali civil war.
Al-Shabaab, a radical group with links to Al-Qaeda, has seized control of much of Somalia.
I still remember seeing people that dying without help, with no emergency service, with no medication.
For now, the outside world seems powerless to stop the carnage.
I can see you're actually crying. And that's the memories of you seeing people dying in front of you?
Yep. We met a car that has been exploded. It was a family. We walk past their body parts laying on the floor.
Al-Shabaab recruits march at a passing out parade in northern Mogadishu. Their aim? Seize control of all Somalia and take the battle to the west.
They don't care about nothing. They're ready to die. All you can see is the eyes, the red eyes. When you see them, you can feel a horror in your heart.
It was against this backdrop that Zamzam first fell in love with running, having one day been invited to take part in an 800-metre race. She finished fourth.
I was so happy because it was my first time trying. And I was like, okay, if you came number four without training, what can you do when you train?
But in Mogadishu, training was not so easy. Zamzam and her fellow runners would have to brave what had become known as the Road of Death.
If you are on the road of death, you're going to see a checkpoint, a destroyed buildings, a destroyed road. Sometimes you might come across a blood on the road. They're firing bullets every single minute. When I run, I forget things. Well, I know that I'm happy, that I'm enjoying the life. That's it, nothing else. But the sad part is, like, when you finish, reality comes back.
But Zamzam's life changed forever when she was selected as Somalia's only female competitor for the 2012 Olympics.
I did not believe the day that I got the news that I'm going to represent the country. That was my dream.
It meant a trip to London and a stay in the athletes' village.
the best life ever I had, training on the same track, Usain Bolt, Mo Farah. I got my own chef, a Somali chef. We also get a massage. There were hairdressers.
In the heats of the women's 400 metres, Zamzam found herself drawn against the defending champion, Christina Horrigou of Great Britain.
When I met her in the warm-up area, I was like, oh my God, who are you running with today? I was like, no, this is not true.
A sellout crowd of 80,000 people welcomed Zamzam onto the track. But for a runner not experienced on the international stage, the noise proved to be a problem as the starting pistol was fired.
I didn't hear it because of the crowd. I just get up when they run. And I was like, oh my God, you messed it up.
As the other six runners surged ahead, Zamzam had more problems. Not only was she running covered up on a warm, muggy day, the race coincided with the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which meant she was fasting during daylight hours.
I didn't do the time that I wanted to do it because of my condition, but I wanted to do it and feel the pain.
America's Francina McCrory cruised home to win in a time of 50.78 seconds. With everyone else across the line, Zamzam was out on the track all by herself for 27 seconds.
Honestly, the crowd was amazing. Supporting me. To have that people to encourage me in 27 seconds, they're like, I feel that I was the winner.
Although Zamzam's time of 1 minute and 20 seconds was a full 15 seconds slower than anybody else that morning, journalists from around the world picked up the story of her run and the crowd reaction to it. But in Somalia, the reaction was very different, with Al-Shabaab claiming as a woman, she had brought shame on her religion simply by competing.
Before it was like, I'm just playing, but now I crossed the line.
Zamzam faced death threats and her pictures were shared online and across social media.
I was like, what did I do? Why do I deserve it? This? When you go back, you will die. You have to face the truth.
Even before she could board a plane, her family in Somalia was attacked. In an emotional phone call, Zamzam's mother told her daughter not to come home.
My mom said to me, no matter where you are in the world, as long as I know that you are alive, that's all matters.
With no money and no ability to speak English, Zamzam was reliant on help from London's Somali community. A distant cousin provided support while she went through the asylum procedure. 3 months later, she was granted leave to stay in the UK, the country she now calls home.
I set an example for other girls and I showed them not to give up in life and do what you wanted to do the most. Girls are more known in sports in Bakom. There was none before me.
Looking back, was it worth all the sacrifice?
Yeah, I did what I love and I'm so proud of that.
Zamzam Farah was speaking to Ian Williams in 2021. If you enjoyed that episode of the Witness History podcast, why not leave us a review and share it with anyone you think might enjoy it? This really helps in letting people know about the amazing stories people tell us on Witness History.
From the brilliant and bizarre.
It was really surreal. It was a surreal kind of atmosphere there. You couldn't really see anybody.
To the shocking and unexpected.
I'm just wondering, what are we going to do now? This was really my worst fear. He found 100% horse meat that was labelled as beef.
Witness the stories that have shaped our world. Told by the people who were there.
When he went to the factory, the poodle went in front of him. So the workers all knew, oh, the boss is here.
Many people had many things to lose by our victory. The future was not so bright.
Witness History.
We had a designer. He brought in a fully storyboarded idea about how the Queen would arrive by jumping out of a helicopter. And we all said, that's brilliant, but it's never going to happen.
Witness History at bbcworldservice.com/witnesshistory or wherever you get your podcasts.